Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Just now we were talking about the Occupy movement. A couple of messages come in here. Occupy Melbourne's mistaken. The income of the poor has risen in proportion to the income of the wealthy. Not sure about that one. And Occupy Melbourne fizzled because they've got no vision. In the USA, it makes sense. In Oz, it's been a case of a monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
Who? Well, anyway, this is Doug Pollard here. My guests in the studio are Harley Dennett and Carrington Brigham. It's taken a while and a heck of a lot of pushing, but the Australian government is finally starting to recognise the fact that LGBTI seniors need to be recognised and catered for in our aged care system, something my next guest has been fighting for a long time. Good evening and welcome to the programme, Joe Harrison.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? More to the point, you weren't well recently.
No, I'm very good. I'm much better, thanks. I've got a mouthful of titanium now, so I dare anyone to punch me in the jaw.
Oh, well, that's great news. Now,
yeah.
We've also had good news over the last few months about aged care for GLBTI seniors here in Oz. Can you give us a quick rundown of what's been happening?
The good things that have been happening over the last few months or so are that we're particularly seeing a bit of a breakthrough here with federal level support, but also some state level support for GLBTI initiatives. Particularly just in the last month, just prior to Christmas actually, here in South Australia, the state government announced funding to ACTSA, the AIDS Council of South Australia, for a positive ageing campaign, which is something that the organisation's been trying for a number of years to break through with, getting some state funding for that, and has been successful, and that's really tremendous. We've also seen Greg Mackey, who was he's a very prominent well-known gay person in the community here, and who did actually stand as an out gay candidate to be the Lord Mayor, and unfortunately wasn't successful, but he's actually just been appointed Executive Director of Ageing in what is now the SA Department of Health and Ageing. So I think between having him and also Ian Hunter as now as Minister for Social Inclusion, we've got a pretty good situation here. And we also found out that there's now funding from the Commonwealth Government for, we've got at least 25 packages, aged care packages, which are basically Commonwealth Government packages of services to people living in the home. Three different organisations have been given some funding for those packages, which will be GLBTI targeted. We've already got some operating in Queensland, so South Australia is the sort of second cab off the rank in that respect. But I think that's a really good sign. We also just had the GLBTI roundtable in Sydney, hosted by ACON and the GLBTI National Health Alliance, and that was attended by a very wide range of organisations and elders. And part of that two-day roundtable was more than 2 hours with the Minister, Federal Minister for Ageing, Mark Butler. Mm-hmm. That was an incredibly useful, really good conversation. And he's holding these conversations with the elders and carers around Australia. I think he's up to 58 conversations now.
Good Lord.
And he's got two more to go. The last one's in Alice Springs and on the 1st of February. And he's saying that at almost every conversation, including in rural areas, GLBTI issues are coming up, and the conversations are deliberately targeted towards older people and their carers, not predominantly targeted to service providers. So even at forums where, you know, aged care issues are being sort of generally discussed by older people themselves and their carers, LGBTI issues are coming up. over and over again quite prominently, which is really fantastic. It's an absolute breakthrough. But in terms of the issue about the contrast with America, which I understand is the sort of theme of tonight's program.
Well, I just wanted to get an idea from you as to, you know, it sounds to me as though some sort of logjam has been broken here, and things are actually starting to move. And also, yes. I think Butler is now in the cabinet as well, isn't he? Which will give us an additional voice in there.
That's right. His cabinet. He's also picked up social inclusion. So it's a very, very good combination, and I think it's an extremely significant time for us. I think we're actually at a very significant historical turning point here. And in terms of my own sort of research in the US and in Australia on GLBTI aged care, I actually feel like we're at about the point that the US was in about 1995, and it was a very significant turning point. And there were some very significant decisions to be made in the community there. And even though I feel like, in a lot of ways, we've been way behind in the pack in comparison with the US on GLBTI aged care stuff, when I first went there to do my field work, we had almost nothing here. We obviously did have people who were dedicated to getting the issue raised. We certainly had some groups like Matrix and 1040 Matrix in Sydney and Intersection in Melbourne. We did have groups raising the issue. It's not that nobody was talking about it. It's just that it wasn't widespread. We certainly didn't have the issue high on the agendas or even on the agendas of the GLBTI organisations. That was a huge task.
Yeah.
Nor did we have the issue on the agendas of the aged care mainstream organisations.
Yeah. So you're falling in between two stools there.
Oh, absolutely. We had some active hostility, in fact.
Now, over in the States, though, again, like everything else that happens over in the States, it's a lot more of a private system than there is here. There have been a lot of private sort of GLBTI aged care homes and aged care resorts kind of things been set up in the US. That doesn't happen here.
No, it doesn't happen here. As
not enough of us?
Well, what's happening with the one in Balan that was supposed to be built?
It's still going.
I was just about to say,
it's still the around.
I grew up around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely still happening. They've definitely got approval. Peter Dixon's definitely got the approval. There's been another process of some sort of redesign and rejigging of some of the things to do with it. But it's still well and truly on the table. Unlike some of the American schemes, which have actually completely collapsed with the global financial crisis.
I was going to say the GFC actually hit Balan quite hard, and that's one of the things that's delayed it. There had to be a complete redesign and a rethink at that point.
Yeah, it's only delayed it. It hasn't actually wiped it out.
No, it's still going.
Whereas in the States, some of the proposals, one of the Boston proposals and some of the others, are now completely off the table.
And there was one in California, I think, that was already up and running that's collapsed.
Yes, that's completely collapsed. That was a very small-scale thing, but it's completely collapsed. I mean, I think one of the interesting things is that, what is coming through loud and clear here, and, I mean, also it did come through loud and clear in America, but, yes, the privatisation stuff really pushed to the fore in the early days, is the stuff about people wanting to remain in their own homes. So even though we immediately kind of jumped to the conclusion that what people really, what we need is a GLBTI nursing home. That's the answer to everything. And it's just, apart from not really being financially realistic, it's a really tall order. But also it's not what most people want. And that's well and truly one of the messages that Mark Butler's hearing.
Yeah.
But the reason I think we're at a really significant turning point here now is that the story in the US in terms of the GLBTI aged care, the social movement stuff that I looked at, interviewing a lot of the activists involved like Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, activists really who pushed very hard very early on this GLBTI aged care stuff, and others who set up a National Association for Lesbian and Gay Gerontology, and that was like in 1977. And over in New York in 1973, people were already establishing SAGE, which is now one of the largest organisations funded by the federal government for a national GLBT. They're not actually aware enough in the US yet. A GLBT ageing resource centre. And that's SAGE with 10 other partnership organisations.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting to me about that is, and where I think we actually could move ahead of the pack, is that the organisations that actually strongly represent and strongly involve the elders themselves are not part of that significant national partnership. And one of those is OLOC, Old Lesbians Organising for Change. It's been a very, very significant, quite powerful.
I love these acronyms.
Yeah. Now, you might have, speaking of Occupy, you might have seen the item about the 30 older women in Bernal Heights in San Francisco.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, they were holding a protest a few days ago. And making their way towards the local branch of the Bank of America.
Yeah.
And they managed to do what no Occupy protesters managed to do around the world, which was to force the bank to close. So the bank actually closed in fear of the protest by 30 elders. And
those Zimmer frames can be deadly.
Absolutely terrifying. Now, what the media failed to mention is that most of those women are actually members of OLOC. They're Old Lesbians Organising for Change. And it is a massive organisation across the US, extremely powerful, and you can only really be a member if you're 60 and over, so I'm literally counting the days. There are already Australian lesbians who are members and who attend their annual gatherings in America. But what has happened is there's been a split in America, this is my analysis anyway, between the sort of professionals and the activists. And I guess by the activists I'm predominantly thinking about the elders. And what really concerns me is that, and it was expressed to me by people over there who had been involved in the movement for change, that this division was happening and it was becoming more and more defined and stark and difficult to deal with. And there was a kind of widening canyon, I guess, between those who were more and more interested in GLBTI aged care from a much more, I guess, professional level. This, of course, took place around the time when, there were dollars on the table to be had and it became a bit of a sexy issue. And the activists, the older people themselves, felt somewhat, pushed out, to some extent excluded from some of the central resourcing and things that were taking place.
So what you're saying there is that whereas here in Australia, the GLBTI aged care movement, if I can loosely call it that, wasn't really connected up either with the government on one side or with the activists on the other, with the aged care industry or with the gay groups, whereas they were connected up in the beginning in the US, but now it's beginning to break up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what's very interesting...
And that's the money that's doing that, by the sound of it.
It's a combination, I think, of money. It's a combination of political perspective. It's a combination of a whole lot of factors that I think is driving what is this kind of wedge, in a way, between elders themselves and service providers, basically, and other organisations who say, no, that's okay, we'll represent you. I mean, it's a bit like Aboriginal self-determination, who's speaking
well,
for us?
Joe, you should know that as you get older, and it's happened to me and it's happened to all of us, I think, you tend to get more and more people saying, in effect, there, dear, we'll look after it for you.
Precisely.
And you can't necessarily trust them to do that. Joe, we're going to have to leave it there for tonight. Thank you very, very much for your time, and thanks also for all your hard work.
That's fine. Thank you very much, Doug. Much appreciated.
And we'll speak again soon.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
That was Dr. Joe Harrison over in Adelaide. You're listening to The Rainbow Report.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.